Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today, the dynamic duo of Daniel Mangana and Alex King. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
I can get this to work. Hello there. Hi. Yes, here we are. Hello. Welcome to LOA Today. And I want to bring in my co-host here. We got Daniel Mangana. We got Alex King joining us today. And guys, I still have this thing on the screen. I don't know what's going on with StreamYard. I just haven't figured this out. That's all there is to it. But, you know, I think StreamYard likes me. I think it's what it is. This is their way of testing me. But we got some fun today because we have a fourth person joining us. This is a friend of Dan's. His name is Neo Positivity, which I love the name, by the way. Hey, Neo. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you, Dan, for introducing me to Walt.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you did. I did a little bit of research, Neo, because I wanted to find out what I could about you before, you know, you came onto the show. And I thought actually that the character in the movie series, the Matrix, was named after you, but apparently that's not the case. But it seems appropriate. I mean, you were born Neo Maya de Jesus de Ville was where you were born, but you go by Neo Positivity now. I mean, I love the change in name. I love positivity. What made you, this is an easy question. This is a softball question, but what made you make the change?
I grew up, my family called me Maya growing up. But I became a police officer in Camden, New Jersey. And I was that guy, you know, I was that guy. So they ended up calling me Neo, and so that stuck. And then after I left the police department, it's kind of when the whole Neo Positivity came in together. It just kind of gelled, you know.
That's cool, yeah. And you also played semi-pro football.
Yeah, football was my heart. You know, I thought I was going to go to the NFL, but I guess I was meant for something bigger, you know.
Well, positivity, that's not exactly a step backward.
No, that's it. I always tell people, you know, what we do, you know, we give people we teach people the ability to create their future, and everyone on the planet wants that. You know, that's the most desired thing you could possibly have. So, yeah, I think that's a little bit bigger than football.
Well, I'm glad you got your priorities straightened out so you knew exactly what was important to you. And I personally applaud the choice. I think you made the right choice. And maybe the universe kind of helped out, but that's what perfect timing is all about anyway, right?
Yeah. I guess the universe made that choice for me. I made that choice. I don't know.
Well, you vibrated and the universe said, yeah, okay, we're going to go this way.
Yeah, I kind of like it when it does that. sometimes it goes off the reservation. Sometimes it.
This is true.
Sometimes you end up in Miami an extra week, you know?
You were letting us know, yeah, listeners, he was letting us know that he's been stuck in Miami for the last few days. I mean, this is just, I mean, our hearts go out to him. You know, it's like being stuck in the North Pole, except, you know, with beach bodies. But other than that.
That's a good stuck. That's a good stuck.
Seriously.
I definitely wouldn't say stuck, though. I've been stuck in Miami before because of a storm. And yeah, I still made the best of it. But this was a very beautiful personal choice and an investment into my future. You know what I mean?
Very cool. So, yeah. I like that. So, hey, Dan, where'd you and Neo hook up for the first time? Can you give us a little bit of the backstory there?
Neo had a summit that I was invited to be a part of. And actually, this is where I was like, oh, you've got a summit coming. I need to introduce you to Walt. Maybe Walt wants to come and listen to the summit. And maybe the listeners want to listen to the summit because he's got another one coming up this weekend. I was like, oh, more people need to meet you because you're really cool and you bring together cool people for your summit. So, yeah, we connected on the summit and stayed in contact afterwards, and we're going back and forth and sharing ideas. And I thought it'd be a really cool addition to the game.
No doubt about it, yeah. And we're off to a good start on that score. You got something coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I throw a monthly Law of Attraction summit. I call it Neo Positivity's Thoughts Become Things Summit. And, you know, as far as you guys know as well as I do, you know, you don't want to be reminded about the Law of Attraction every 6 months.
Are you kidding? We're hourly around here. Sometimes minute by minute, you know?
Yeah. And I obviously can't throw a summit every minute. So I was like, all right, let me just do something every month, have a theme. Like, you know, February was relationships and March was luck and how I don't believe in it. And yeah, so every month we're doing something new and having speakers on. sharing their tips and secrets. I always ask everybody, like I asked Dan, just come on and answer the two questions. How do you use the law of attraction and what has it done for you? You know, whether it be affirmations, pre-sleep rituals, whatever it is you do, yoga with meditation. I want to know, I want to get the best information I can from everybody and be able to push it to everybody else who's wondering how to use it. Because everybody, I think most of the people that have heard about the law of attraction, they halfway don't believe in it because of the negative things that have happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like if they get more information and see really how it works, they can start, it'll automatically in their head, they'll start putting it together. Oh yeah, I was thinking about that. I was stressing about that. And that's probably why that happened. And so that's like the whole goal of it, you know, to get everybody to raise awareness, really. So yeah, it's monthly and it's coming up. This month is this Saturday, the 24th from noon to 4 Eastern time.
That's cool. All right. We'll get a link into the description when we're ready to publish this podcast too. But how'd you get started with all this? Where did the LOA influence start to come into your life?
Back when I was a cop, my partner was a retired CIA agent before he became a cop. So he said, listen, and I'm SWAT team. I'm, you know, super cop in my mind. And he said, listen, there's this movie that they make everyone watch in the academy. Everyone, every year. I'm going to give it to you. I want you to watch it. And I'm like, yeah. So I get the DVD. I put it in. And I'm expecting some SWAT team, you know, movie. You know, I'm expecting all that stuff. But the movie was a secret.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And immediately after the secret, I don't know if you remember in the secret, they tell you to either try to think about a butterfly or a feather, whichever one you don't see the most. Mm-hmm. I never saw feathers, so I thought about a feather, thought about holding my hand, no good, no bad, and the next day, amazing. No one saw the movie with me, no one knew I was doing this, but the next day I went outside and there was this like 11-inch feather just kind of tucked, dangling in my windshield wiper, and that was it. That's when I knew, like, if I could do that, you know, I knew what it took for that bird to be right there in the wind, and I, like, if I could do that, I could do anything. And yeah, so that was it. I saw that movie in March of 2008. I retired from the police department in November 2008, and I've just been just been teaching people what I can ever since. You know, I don't have a solution for everything. All I could do is just tell people how I use it to get things, and hopefully they can apply it to what they want. You know, to what they want out of life as opposed to what I want. But mm-hmm. yeah, that's really what it is. You know, that's where neopositivity started, and then I did a couple TV shows and radio shows and podcasts and all that other stuff, and it was cool interviewing one person at a time. And getting hints and tips from everybody. But I had an idea one day and I was just like, what if I got a bunch of Law of Jackson enthusiasts in the same room sharing their tips and then a bunch of people listening? That's like, that's heaven right there. And, as soon as I thought about it, I knew it was me. I knew it was for me. Something, TV was cool. Something was a little bit off. Radio was cool. I loved doing it, but something was a little. This feels like I'm why I was meant to retire and everything I've done was to get to this point and do this. So yeah, I do that every month and I love it.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, it's obvious. I mean, all we have to do is look at your face and we can see how much you love it. It's just, you know, oozing out of your pores, but which is great. That's really cool. Interesting too, how it always starts with a secret. I can't say I've ever heard a story that says that for me, it started with a secret when I was working for the police department SWAT team. They said, watch this movie. That's a new one. I hadn't heard that particular take before, but good. I'm glad they're doing that.
The reason why I smile so big is because the life that I've been, that I've manifested. I'm a pilot. I fly a paramotor almost every day. I'm flying places. It's like literally you just, if you know how to do it, you just point at stuff and it comes. You just point and do your mental exercise. I got a bunch of stuff I made up, different ways and techniques, some better than others. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, this is how I get people right here. And I was doing this at the summit. If they never heard of Law of Attraction, I say, have you ever thought of someone or had a conversation about them and they end up like texting you or inboxing you a couple of days later and you're like, man, I was just thinking about that person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if you could take that energy transfer and use it to get more than a phone call, more than an email? Mm-hmm. You know, what if you could use it with laser pinpoint accuracy to get exactly what you want every time? And that's how I get them. And, you know, I lead them to my website, neopositivity.com, and use the techniques and you know, just try to change one life at a time. There's a lot of people, so we got to do it in numbers. Us, people like us, got to stick together, just get as many people as we can involved, because that's life-changing. This is something that ain't never been done before. This could change the world, literally.
It's never. Well, it is. It already is. I mean, I'm sure you've seen signs of it. I've seen plenty of signs of it. I think everybody who's a regular co-host on the show has seen it. I mean, there's the amount of interest, not necessarily knowing about law of attraction, but interest in how conscious creation works in general from a variety of different viewpoints, because there are lots of different teachers of it. It's kind of like seeping into the fabric of society. That's been my perception of it. And yeah, it's amazing to me. I'll have a conversation with somebody completely outside of the LOA circle. And, you know, maybe somebody I just met, and I'll mention that I do a podcast, and they say, oh, what's it about? Oh, it's about the law of attraction. Oh, really? Yeah, I was hearing about that. I can't tell you how often that happens. I mean, it happens every week for sure. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time you see me, I have this shirt on.
Is that right?
And that's why. That exact thing. Right? Like, people come up to me, I love your shirt. My parents talked about da 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 da. That's it. And even if someone doesn't say something to me or has never heard of it, at some point that night, a negative thought's gonna come into their mind, and they're gonna be like, maybe I shouldn't be focusing on that. That's it. That's all I need. If I get one person with this shirt, I'll wear this shirt for the rest of my life. Plus, I don't have to choose a wardrobe.
I hope you have a bunch of them, though. I mean, you otherwise, yes, you have to do laundry like a lot. But you know,
no, it's funny because I place my orders for them, and the guy's like, "Man, you got a lot of shirts. Where are you selling them at?" I'm like, "No, they're just for me."
So, yeah. That is so cool. How'd you get doing the summits, though? What made you jump onto that platform?
Last year in March 5th, it ended, was PodFest. I just started my podcast. I was two episodes in. The podcast is called Masters of Laws of Attraction. And I went to this thing called PodFest. And the guy who, Chris Mitsos, he runs PodFest. And he has a podcast, obviously. But one thing that really stood out to me was I was there all weekend. And I still, to this day, don't know the name of his podcast. He never talked about it, never spoke about it. His goal was to get podcasters together, raising awareness about podcasts, get them collaborating. And I said, you know, if I could do that with Law of Attraction enthusiasts, like, the sky's the limit. I was already doing it, like interviewing people, like on a podcast, interviewing people, getting their tips and hints and secrets about Law of Attraction. I was already doing it one person at a time. I'm just surprised it took me so long to come up with the idea to do it with multiple people, you know, and just let, you know, just collaborate. Get those ideas out there. And secretly, don't tell anyone, but secretly, it's really selfish because I'd be stealing everybody's techniques for myself too.
I know the feeling.
This is the thing. When I was speaking to Neo Loss, I was like, oh my God, we've got to get you on LOA today. I was like, you basically do what Walt does, but Walt does it with a podcast and you do it once a month. They'd have everyone in one place. So
I
feel like we need to go to PodFest.
I think PodFest. So. I think you're right. Yeah.
PodFest is really, really, it's dope. It's just like that. And that's the only convention I've ever been to besides this one. You go there. It's like school. It's just like school. You're going from classroom to classroom. In between, you run into people. You're like, hey, that person's cool. By the end of the day, you formed a little clique. You guys are introducing each other to all your friends. And then that night you party. And the next day you wake up hungover and go back to more classes. So it's literally just like high school for grownups. It's really fun, and that's why I did not hesitate when my friend Elijah invited me to come to this dental convention. Shout out to Elijah Desmond, by the way. He's real good people. I'll probably end up introducing you guys to him as well.
Sounds cool. All right. Well, I could keep going with the questions. Guys, do you have anything you want to jump in with? And if there's anybody listening on the live stream who wants to jump in with a question, put it into the comments section, and I'll be glad to bring it in. Alex is raising her hand, though. Alex, you know we don't raise hands around here. You can just go.
It's probably the school analogy that had
thank
all this
you.
Stuff.
No, my whole thing is
Abbey at school.
I went to school for 12 years, and I had to raise my hand. You're not going to talk me out of it.
All right, okay.
It's just not. This is how it is. It's ingrained. But my questions were the two questions that you ask your guests on your podcast. What are your answers for those two questions?
Good one.
How do I use the law of attraction? I guess my main thing, the basis of all the mental exercises I've created is basically being present. And the most recent book that I read or audio book that I listened to was The Untethered Soul. And so that's really my big thing is to listen to the voice that's going on in your head. And for everyone who's listening that says, there's no voice going on in my head. That voice that just said that, that's the
I like so, that. That's really good.
I stole that from the book. That's actually in the beginning of the book. It hooked me immediately. So yeah, just when you hear the voice, whenever you're conscious enough to wake up, just listen to it. And as soon as you guys know, as well as I do, as soon as you listen to the voice, you're now disassociating with whatever the subject was. And you're back home. You're back present. And so anything like that, when I do my affirmations, it's be present. But those are my two big things. And what has it done for me? Retirement, cussing my kids, a Super Bowl ring. I'm a pilot, bunch of TV shows, talk shows, and now I'm here. And I throw a summit. Do what I want. Wake up when I want. Go where I want. Don't answer to anybody. That's insane, but I love it. That's done.
It's blessing is what it is.
Yes, truly, truly.
Yeah. I want to know, you mentioned that you have certain techniques that you do. What are some of the techniques you do? You were describing how you can't get yourself into the frame of mind.
Well, one is, I do this thing called the Watcher technique. Basically in a nutshell, I was taking this government test in this small room with no windows, just one door. And when I got up to walk out, I tripped over the table and I felt embarrassed and I kind of looked around. There's no cameras there. I wasn't looking at anything, but I was that feeling.
Mm.
You guys know that song? It always feels like somebody's watching me. Yeah, that feeling. And some people, for you guys out there that say you don't know what that feeling is, this is what I usually do for people like that. I say, stay still. I go behind them. I take my phone and I put it on a desk or on a bookshelf. And I come back and I say, okay, go ahead, keep talking. And as soon as they start talking, I say, wait, just so you know, we're live streaming right now behind you. Don't turn around. You'll see him freeze like that's the feeling. That's the very feeling. And then, you know, yeah. I go turn around. I tell him to turn around and my phone is laying down on the shelf and it's not even on. And then the feeling disappears. And I want them to really feel that feeling. So anyway, that happened to me. And I like to study things that all people have in common. I know all people can feel that feeling. So I wanted to study it. And, you know, the only way to study it is to get quiet and just feel it. And that's what I did. And the first thing I noticed was that it knew I had decided to study it. I don't know how I knew, but it knew everything I was thinking. I don't know how I knew it. I just knew that it knew every word I was thinking. It knew I was studying it. And I said to myself, watching me at all times, even when I'm not paying attention, can hear all my thoughts. You know, it kind of sounds like God to me. And if I'm right, this is the closest a human can come to physically feeling God. And so I was like, I got to study this. Like, I got to key in on this. So the more time I spent there, I wasn't doing any other mental exercises. I was just spending time there. It was producing. Life was changing. It was shifting. I accredit my retirement to that exercise.
Wow.
I would have a couple other ones peppered in. But once I started on what I call the Watcher exercise, and you can do it anytime, just walking down the street, just feel it. Just feel like a camera's watching you, but know that it's God or whoever you believe created the universe and is creating it as we go. And so what I do is I compound exercises. You know, I put my feet in the sand at the park while my son's running around. I close my eyes, visualize myself at the Bahamas. So I'm doing a visualization technique with physical interaction, and then I do affirmations. I love the Bahamas. I'm so happy to be here. And while I do that, I compound more exercises, bring in a watcher, watching me say I love being at the Bahamas with my toes in the sand. So when you really get the chance to compound exercises like that, your doors just open. You end up places like this and meeting people. And yeah, so a bunch of different exercises. The watcher one is just one, but that's basically what I've been doing for the last 12 years that I've been retired. It's just coming up with new exercises. Field testing them with family and friends, seeing if they work, see what doesn't, you know, change things, tweak things. And yeah, that's mental exercises are my whole thing. And
I love that watcher. I mean, I haven't heard that one before. That one's very, very cool. I mean, really, I'm thinking like, how can I start applying that one? Because that's really, I had never thought about trying to do it that way. Why do you think that is? It's so effective? What is it about that particular technique that works so well?
I honestly think it's God.
Okay.
Like I think that is the most interaction we can have with God. I used to pray, like everybody else, but I realized once I had that conversation, I realized that when I'm praying, I'm just talking outward to the walls.
Mm-hmm.
When I conversate with the watcher, and yeah, I took it a step further and conversated. When I conversate with the watcher, I conversate with him like I'm conversating with you. You know, if someone walked by in the background, I wouldn't even notice I'm in this conversation where, you know, where you're doing our thing. And when you get real intimate like that, it's a beautiful thing. It's a real beautiful thing. And it's something you could do right now while I'm talking. You know, no one knows you're doing it. And it's very, it produces. And I believe that's why. And it's a present thing too. Like I said, the basis of all most of my exercises is being present. And in order to feel the watcher, you're feeling him right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow. So I guess that's a huge part of it too.
Well, there's also a piece of my, I was going to say a piece of my mind, but that doesn't sound right. A piece of my presence, my now presence, that I've always been aware of. What I thought it was me being aware of my audience. Because you know, you're doing a podcast. First of all, you have a number of people who are listening live stream, but the vast majority are listening to the recording after the fact. So you're talking to somebody who haven't heard what you're saying just yet. And yet I've always had this feeling I was talking to that audience, and I never could figure out how to describe that feeling. I didn't think of it in terms of a watcher, but as you're talking, that's what it is. And so now I'm a little bit confused. Am I talking to my audience, or am I talking to God, or is it a combination of both? I'm not really sure now.
You know what? I'm going to give you this. I wish I had it now. I always carry Play-Doh, and I smooth it out, and then I make a lump right here, and I give it arms and legs. I make a lump right here and give it arms and legs. And I say, that's Jill, and that's Jane, or whatever names I give it. And I'm like, what is their relationship to each other? And people are always like, oh, they're brothers, they're sisters, they're soulmates, whatever they got to say. And I say, okay, cool. And then I smash it together, and I'm like, okay, now what do you got? There were never two people there. You created that.
It's a good point.
All of that. And since everything that exists is made of vibrating energy waves, and vibrating energy waves is, you know, defined, you know, people say moving in and out of everything can never be created or destroyed. You know, religion calls that God. And so your listeners are the watcher. And if they're, you know, and it's kind of, so once you really start putting stuff together, listen, the ego is going to step in. You guys know the ego will step in and kick your back in when you try to say things.
Continuously. That's part of what, you know, living is.
That's been my major, huge area of focus, is how to trick the ego into shutting up and letting me sit in a happy headspace. And one of the big ways of doing that is changing the way I see things. So as far as you like the way I just said, between watchers and your listeners, they are all one. Just leave it like that. It's God. Whether it's them watching you, it's God watching you. When you do that, like, I don't know if you guys believe in, but when you do that, when I do that, I feel special. I feel special. Like he's watching me right now. But, you know, and that kind of special that I feel manifests more of me feeling special. So, yeah, that's a great mental exercise for me. You
know, I like that. Yeah. And actually, it makes sense the more I think about it, because we are all elements of source energy. We are all elements of the is, so to speak. So you're right. There's really not a huge difference between thinking that I'm talking to my audience and thinking that I'm talking to God. It's pretty much the same deal. I'm more like maybe talking to a chunk of it. I'm not sure what the better way is to describe that, but one particular focused area of it, maybe that's one way of saying it. But I like that. First of all, you've given me a way to really appreciate. I didn't think this was possible, by the way. I didn't think it was a way for me to do this, but you just gave me a way to appreciate my audience even more than I already do. So thank you for that.
Boom.
Because, I mean, I love my audience. I think it's not just my audience. It's our audience. It's Dan and Alex and my other co-host, Cindy and Monique and, you know, everybody, all the people who do all the shows with me 5 days a week. It's our audience. And I've for years now, I've been saying how much I love the audience. You just gave me a way to get to the next level. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for being receptive. That's a beautiful thing. And you know what? I always start off with this, and I apologize for not starting off with this earlier. I want to say thank you to you three for joining this. I don't want to say war, but I guess it is. You know, this war on negativity, taking time out of your busy schedule to get deeper, discover more about yourself. I know you're sharing it with your family and friends. You want to see them excel. And it is effort, what we do. And you could easily not do it. And it takes a lot of time to do. But we're doing it, and it need to be more people like us. So I greatly appreciate what you guys are doing, contributing to, you know, the earth and life, society. Need more people like us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Absolutely.
Got a question for you from somebody in the live stream. Jeffrey's asking, have you had to heal the traumas of what you experienced while being on SWAT in order to get where you are?
No. One of the biggest things that I had to learn early on in my law of attraction journey was to accept. what has happened. Everything that's happened exactly the way it was meant to happen. And it couldn't happen any other way, you know? And I always say, you know how I know that? Because that's what happened.
yeah, right.
Yeah, I have to just accept it. You know, it's something that happened. You know, not to get too graphic or whatever, dead bodies and stuff like that. Where I'm from, it was something that happened. I was in Camden, New Jersey. I was there 8 years. 6 out of the 8 years I was there, it was the most dangerous and the poorest city in America. It's only 3 square miles. It's only 3 square miles.
That's yeah, it's not geographically, it's not huge. It's got a lot of population, but yeah.
Yeah, now I was born there. I didn't spend my whole life there, but I was born there. So seeing dead bodies and people getting shot kind of just get used to it. I'm sad to say it, but in that atmosphere, you get used to it.
You become desensitized.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has what you have learned changed anything about how you feel about where you came from?
You mean like law of attraction or police related?
I mean, has what you have learned through law of attraction teachings affected the way you think about where you came from, where your background was, when you worked with the police and so forth?
I wouldn't have been able to let it go the way I have if it weren't for the law of attraction. I knew it would hold me back. Once I discovered that every single thought I have, I compare it to, picture you got a million flower pots in front of you and a dropper of water. And you're like this, I hate my house. My boss is a pain in the butt. Mm. Why is my kid acting up in school? You're dropping water, 60 to 70 thoughts on average per day per person. You're dropping water into all these different flower pots. And the pots that get the most water are going to grow. Where there was once nothing there, now there's a plant there, a big ugly plant in your face, confirming to you that your boss is a butthole and he treats you like that. So it's like, once I realized that, I said, I cannot waste not one thought on anything. Yeah. No regrets, nothing I've seen in the past. It was meant to happen. I can't build a time machine. If I could, I probably wouldn't. Not for that. And so it's just like, you got to move on about things like that. And so that's when I let it go.
That's good. Yeah, letting go is really important. I'm also curious, do you have any of your old connections that have kind of followed you into this arena?
Unfortunately, I don't know where you guys live exactly, but the further north you go, it seems, on the East Coast, at least of America, the more negativity it is. I just recently moved to Florida 2 years ago, and I got to tell you, it's totally different down here than up north. Jersey's like right between Philly and New York, and it's like the energy, the negative energy waves are pouring through the pores of Jersey. So unfortunately, a lot of my friends and stuff, I was almost said that earlier today. My sister and my father, two people that are close to me, can call me anytime they want. They probably use the law of attraction the least out of any of my viewers, my listeners, my followers. And it gets even worse. All my friends back home, they're like, I don't got time to worry about the law of attraction. The electric bills do. And I'm like, come on. If you heard anything
right?
else, you know? And yeah, so unfortunately from Jersey, no. But in my time in Tampa, it's been an explosion. I can't walk down the street with the shirt on without people stopping me. Oh my gosh, they say, oh, the shirt is so cool. Those are some things. And I say, the back is even better. And they're like, what's the back?
There it is. Neopositivity.com. All right.
That's what
shameless plug. I like it.
Yeah. It's even on the back of the hat.
There you go.
So yeah. As far as Tampa goes, oh my goodness, yes, they love it. And my experience this week in Miami was amazing. It's just amazing. So as far as Jersey goes, I guess I'll affect that more when it's time. But down here, I'm killing it.
Well, I can give you a little bit of reinforcement that might help, because two of the co-hosts. One of them has actually moved on to some other stuff. The other is sort of on a part-time basis now. But two of them are from New York. So from the city. So there have been some inroads that have been made, and they're pretty enthusiastic. One of them actually, this is really interesting. One of them is the daughter of the former crime boss of the mafia. He was the head of the five families in New York City and went to prison for it and everything. And she survived all that craziness and became a law of attraction devotee. So just goes to show, you know,
it's not, she's not from that show. My wives, is she?
No,
she's not. Nope. Okay. Nope. No, she's actually, she's actually healthy, if you'll believe that. Yeah.
No, what, she's cool. I want you guys to think about this too, because this really got me about COVID. Most of my, when I was doing my Masters of Law of Attraction podcast, something really stood out to me was everybody had that moment where they broke their leg or they got injured, where they were sat, the world sat their butt down and they couldn't do nothing. They had nothing to do. And that's when they got deep. That's when they got spiritual, when they had nothing else to do. And the way the world was going and the way the Law of Attraction is starting to spread, I think that COVID was that sit your butt down. Because I always wondered, how am I going to get the world to just chill, leave your bills and all that alone and just learn more about you? You know, how am I going to get the world to do that on a larger scale? And then COVID came and I was like, boom, gotcha. Everybody got to sit down now. Everybody got to sit down and podcast all day. So I'm like feeling this universal shift on the planet. Like it's happening. Now's the time. You know, we as people, we had the mail system, the snail mail, to connect us. It wasn't fast enough. The universe gave us the internet, gave us email. That connected us, but then we needed more interaction. So the universe gave us social media. So now we're feeling energies about people that we would have never talked to from high school. Now we know what they're doing on a Saturday afternoon just from opening Facebook. We're exchanging energy. The universe is leading up. It has a plan, and it's a major shift that's about to happen, you know.
And is happening, like you're pointing out.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing constant is change. Mankind been a messed up way for a while. It's time for that change.
You know? I mean, look at this podcast. We got Dan in Mexico. You're down in Florida. Alex is on the Cape Cod. I'm in Connecticut. I mean, we're just all over the different places here. And we're having this conversation online. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
It is absolutely fabulous.
Technology took a leap during COVID, so I'm happy for that.
It did take a leap, didn't it? Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't think of it that way, but it's a good thing technology was there. It helped people get through COVID.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Where would we be without Zoom?
Yeah. Right.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. If COVID came before the internet, oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Think about that.
We would be fighting zombies right about now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would be the zombies. Cannibalism.
Yeah. No technology equals cannibalism.
I don't think it would be this positive.
No,
that's not true. At all.
Well, I think some people would be, because positivity has been around for a long time, but it was among a very, very small piece of the population that it was practiced in any significant way. I mean, you go back 100 years, you got the Napoleon Hills and the Wallace Waddles and the Florence Scovel Shins of the world, you know, Neville Goddard, all those people. But they were a very, very small minority. Really, really small, you know, like 0.1%. Now, I mean, just you do like a little search using, I like to use, this sounds strange, I know. I like to use Facebook Ad Manager to do research. I know that sounds really weird, but that's what I do. And one of the things that I learned is that roughly 10 to 15% of the population in America follow law of attraction in some way. Mm-hmm. I mean, dang, who knew? You know, and 20 years ago, that wouldn't have been possible.
Nah,
but here we are today. Yeah. And it's growing.
Take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to. How can it not? Seriously, how can it not?
Very true.
So, I mean, can I take over your show for a second and ask you guys to answer those two questions? You know, how do you use the law of attraction and what has it done for you?
Wow. Who wants to go first?
Dan wants to go first.
I've already done this. Oh. It's your turn.
You haven't done this on today's show.
I'm the observer. I'm the witness. So worship your God. I am the watcher.
Alex, it looks like you're up, Alex. Come on.
He said worship your God. Get out of here. I can't.
Okay, I will.
That's great. Oh dear. See, that's how I use law of attraction.
That's a good trick. Getting people to disappear, you could sell that.
I do it all the time with my sparkling personality.
You know what? You should get together with the mob chick and you guys can both make people disappear.
Wow. I think that's why she's on the podcast, so she can stop making people disappear. She's not about that life no more.
Well, actually, Rita is also a psychic, so what she really does is after you disappear, she finds out where you went.
There you go. Tag team.
I like it. You guys should have your own podcast.
We do.
Making people disappear.
101. I love how they're using the tangent to escape answering the question. They tried to palm off on me first.
No, I've got a 5-year-old. I use my tangent to answer the question.
I've got a 5-year-old. Those strategies ain't working on me. I have a strategy master, especially when it comes to bedtime.
Yeah, I hear you. I went bedtime negotiations.
I went shiny spoon with it. I went right with it. I was gone. I wasn't like, yeah. I got to be like, damn.
Hey, Alex, I think we've just been compared to a 5-year-old. I just wanted to point that out to you.
Well, let me tell you, I have a 16-year-old and they're not too far off from 5-year-olds. So it's not, they're just as manipulative.
Oddly enough, I got a 16-year-old and a 3-year-old and you are 100% correct.
Thank you. I know it is.
Well, I'll try to answer the question directly. One of my favorite ways that I have used the law of attraction on a regular basis is to build up this podcast. Because when I started, like anybody who starts a podcast, I had a grand total of 0 listeners.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And I mean, there have been rare occasions where I've done something deliberate to try to improve, you know, through marketing and so forth. But most of the time, it was just put it out there. I want listeners to show up. And they kept showing up. And the number kept getting bigger and bigger. We're up in the hundreds now. I'm getting close to the thousands. It's like, holy cow. I mean, there was a time when I was in the tens saying, when am I going to get to the 20s?
But you know what? That's the affirmations right there. You know, right now you're thinking at thousands. As soon as you hit 1,000, you can start thinking about 2. Then you're going to hit 2. So that,
oh, yeah.
That's how it starts. That's
I'm already thinking about 10,000. I was just going to say, let's
go
next level.
Yeah.
As long as in here, you can say it, you're good. I don't have a real name for it yet, but I call it a knot. And it's like, if you were to lie to yourself right now, I feel like drop and kind of turn red. And when you're happy, it goes up and turns like blue, then all the way to white. Yes. And so when you do an affirmation like, I appreciate having 1,000 viewers. I appreciate having 1,000 viewers. I'm so glad I hit 1,000. If you haven't hit 1,000 yet, it's going to kind of go down. You know, so that's why if you say 1,000,000, it's going to go down hard because your ego's like, no, you don't. So it's like, as long as that knot is cool, stick with it. So I like that you went from 10 to 20, right, not from 10 to 100, because 20 is way more believable than 100. That
so knot might,
the knot's still going to drop because you're lying to yourself. Still going to drop, but not to that degree. So that is a very, very good point to bring up about how you were using it.
Which is exactly right. That, because when I was at the 10 or 20 level, I was trying to figure out how to get into the hundreds. And that would bring me down because it seemed impossible at that point in time. But then I realized the most important thing was I enjoying myself? By the way, that's where the whole idea of your daily dose of happy came from. It came from that point in time where I realized I was focusing on stuff that wasn't making me feel good. Switch it over to what does feel good. And by the way, at the same time, maybe I can help my audience feel good. And that's when it started to work. That's when it started to build from that point on. So you're dead on. You're exactly right. That's precisely what happened. Yeah. Barbie's got something she wanted to share here too. She says, speak it into existence, hold the thought for 20 seconds, meditation, affirmations, manifest it, living by the beach with a husband, lifestyle, business, and most importantly, health. So there's how she applied it.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm going to be realistic though. To get 20 seconds? Nah. You got 3 or 4 seconds before your ego says, you gotta pick up eggs on the way home. You know? If you're a monk, you get 20 seconds. It's definitely possible. When I was meditating for, you know, there was a point where I would meditate in half an hour and 15 minute, you know, spurts. And I would get like a total of 2 hours of meditation in a day. That was before my 3-year-old was born. I could get 20 to 30 seconds. So yeah, I love that comment. And, just want to key on something, health and finances. Those are two of the most difficult things I could say to manifest. I'm sure you guys, will agree. It's very hard to see yourself as a millionaire if you've never been there. And it's very hard to see yourself as healthy if your neck feels like it's on fire. So congratulations for her. I noticed she put health at the end in, you know, capital letters. So she must have conquered that. Thank you. And please tell me whatever you did to do that, because those are the two things I haven't fully conquered yet. So just let me know.
Well, I can share with you what I've done. And maybe Barbie will come in with some of the stuff that she's done too. Cause I've had a few health issues, and my wife had one too, that we've been overcoming quite successfully. My wife in 2018 was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism and was told by her endocrinologist that she'd be on medication for the rest of her life and might even have to get surgery and get it, you know, chemically burned out and all that kind of stuff. And, we, of course, we never bought into what the doctor would say. We'd all nod our heads up and down and leave the office, look at each other and say, no, this is not going to happen that way. We're going to get past this and you're going to get, no, you're going to cure yourself of it. A year into it, he upped the dosage to like a maximum level of, you know, the dosage of the medication, and reaffirmed that this absolutely, I'm 100% certain you're going to be on medication the rest of your life. About 9 months ago, he reduced it. He kept reducing it a little bit more till this past December, where we're down to the minimum dosage. January, he called her and says, well, test results say you need to knock it down some more, so let's do it every other day at the minimum dosage. Let's do it for 6 weeks and then go off it for 2 weeks and see what happens. We'll take another blood test. That was in March. We took the blood test and they said, why don't you just stay off the medication for the next 3 months and we'll test again. So now, how did she do that? Because you're asking, how did she accomplish that? Really simple. She watched videos that she likes. Some of the things that she likes to, believe it or not, this is really strange. She likes to watch videos by this guy who goes out in his town and clears storm drains so that the water goes swirling down the storm drain. And he
so satisfying.
I swear, she loves it. She can't get enough of these.
It's the swirl, man. It's the swirl.
Yeah. Absolutely loves them.
Yeah.
She watch videos of babies, of, you know, animals playing together, of, you know, anything that just lifts her up. And she'll just watch a lot of them all day long. Winter, summer, spring, fall, doesn't matter. So that's one of her favorite things to do, to get that vibe up. And that's all she did. I mean, literally, I can swear she really hasn't done enough where the nutrition is concerned, where the exercise is concerned, all those stuff she's supposed to do. She did stay on top of the medication, but she didn't do all that stuff. She just stayed on what she liked.
And well, it made her be careful.
Well yeah.
What you're saying.
Be careful what you ask for, right?
You're like, she didn't work out. She didn't eat right.
Well, I already know that what the answer is going to be there, so I stopped fighting that one years ago. But no, it's so cool. With my own situation, I once injured my knees a few years ago. I don't know exactly how I did it. This was, again, I think it was actually 2018 again. There was something about that year. But I injured both knees, and I did it like, you know, getting down onto the floor. It was no major activity I was doing, but I could just feel the pull. And I think they were ligaments. I never actually had them checked out, so I don't know exactly what it was, but I think they were ligaments. And they just kept getting worse and worse and worse over time. Finally, by that May, I was in agony. I was in bed, couldn't even hardly move. And then I remembered that I do a podcast about law of attraction. I should probably do something about this using law of attraction. And so I literally started to focus my attention. Well, lying down, if I had iced my knees and I was lying down, my right knee didn't hurt. My left knee would still hurt, but my right knee would hurt. So I would focus on that right knee, the one that wasn't hurting, and I'd really get intent on it, and I'd say, this is the way my left knee feels. I kept doing the comparison, taking advantage of the bilateral part, right? So I'm looking at the right knee. I'm feeling the right knee. The right knee feels good. This is the way my left knee feels. And I look at the left knee. I say, this is the way you feel. And left knee would say, oh, yeah, right. I don't feel like this way at all. I feel terrible. I am pain. You feel the constant pain. You know the pain. But I was intent on it. I just was determined. And I would actually push myself to try to convince myself that the left knee felt good. And I would achieve it for like a split second. And then I'd have to go take a nap because I was exhausted. And then I'd do it again the next day. And the next day, a week later, 95% of the pain was gone. And today, I can do deep knee bends. I can do anything that you want to do with your knees. this is on, now, you know, you're a sports guy. You probably have dealt with ligament issues. You know, ligaments don't heal right away. They take months to heal. I did. So there you go.
Right. Yeah. It's something about the frequency. I like to give people a lot of visuals so that they can feel it and remember it. Cause once you see something, you can. So if you think of like the heart monitor, you know, going, so if this is your average thoughts about how your knee feels, and then all of a sudden you think it feels great. Now that little rupture right there, it has to affect something.
It does.
Something has to happen. Imagine if you did it a lot. And that's exactly what you did. I'm in 100% belief that that's exactly what you did. You hit enough of those to where the universe started to shift in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You're there.
Yeah. It works.
I'm next. I'm calling it now.
What you healing next? What's the thing you're going to heal?
I have, bad plantar fasciitis.
I'm familiar
with that. My father teases me about it.
My sister had that actually.
Yeah, I gotta get out of that. I gotta get out of that. And amazingly enough, I was able to, once I made the decision to get out of it, me, Mr. Law of Attraction, I didn't make the decision to get out of it until like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Doesn't that annoy you? I mean, you're supposedly the expert on this, and you take weeks to realize, oh yeah, I'm the expert on this. How about that?
Yeah, injuries are a perfect example, because once it's there for so long and the doctors are telling you it's not really going anywhere, you kind of believe it. And you stick with it. And it wasn't until I said, no, I'm done, you know, and I started doing affirmations. I manifested these shoes. They're made by this company called Kuru. They're real good for you. And I was able to walk Busch Gardens until they closed.
Nice.
Amazing. This past weekend at the summit, I spent more time on my feet than I didn't. It was insane. But when I'm entertained, there's people there and stuff, conversations are flying, you're meeting people. That's a good distraction too. And so I definitely credit it to that. But manifesting, I couldn't believe how much I was on my feet and how cool I was with it. And so I'm really, really hopeful about the future for that. And I got a little neck thing going on. Working on that, you know, then I'm gonna be good.
By the way, Jeffrey wanted to pop something in for you. He said, nothing like a good foot rub and reflexology for PF. So there's another piece for you.
Man, I gotta get into foot rubs. I don't know why I haven't manifested very many massages and foot rubs and stuff like that into my life. But I definitely need to do that. Yes, I definitely need to do that. Now, here's the thing about plantar fasciitis. If it starts to hurt while I'm standing up, I can stretch my calves. You know, push against the wall, stretch my calves for 30 seconds on each side, and it'll feel normal. No pain for a good 2 or 3 minutes, and then it's back. You know, the question is, how long will the massage last? You know, I'm definitely going to try it anyway, but, you know, hopefully it lasts longer than just stretching your calves.
So presumably it only bugs you when you're actually on your feet, right? When you're sitting or lying down, it's not bugging you, right? So that's the time when you're sitting or lying down, that's the time to do massive visualizing, because it doesn't hurt anymore. So you can actually imagine that's the way it's going to be all the time.
Exactly. That's my number. That for a very long time, one of my goals in life was to walk down a boardwalk with no shoes and with no shirt on. Because you always want to look good when, you know, we don't need to. and no shoes. Yeah, I see guys doing that for years, and I'm just jealous. I'm like, I don't want to always have to take my shoes places. Like, I want to be, you know. And so, yeah, I'm on it. I'm on that path. It took me a while. I've been doing this 12 years, so yeah, it took me a while. But once I made the decision to retire, I made this decision, and I'm sticking with it wholeheartedly. It's a huge aspect of my life. So yeah.
By the way, here's another piece from Barbie. She said she overcame depression and suicidal thoughts. That's pretty cool. She said, to knowing I can control my thoughts and my reality is what I created. So she refocused on my life is improving. I am surrounded by kind, loving people, and I am strong. Those are how she got out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good.
I was called upon a few times for suicide people. It's crazy. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was going to say. But the first thing that came out of my mouth when I actually talked to this guy who was like, when I say he was going to jump, like he was on the railing, on the other side. Like, I don't know, like, remember Titanic when the lady went on the other side?
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell I was going to say to this guy. Every new guy, Dan knows, when I freestyle, I just freestyle. Like, when I do my summits, there's no script, I just go. And I pride myself on that, but this is different. Like, if he jumped, like, it was so different, so I didn't know what I was going to say, and I was like, bump that, just do it. And the first thing I said to him, I was just like, they haven't been nice to you, have they? And he looked at me, what the hell? I said, your thoughts. And he was just like, he gave me that look like he trusted me. Like I wasn't everybody. I wasn't all the people downstairs who just wanted him to get down so they could put him in handcuffs. Like he was like, yo, this guy's not the average Joe.
Right.
And, you know, sure enough, we had a conversation about the law of attraction. It's funny because I brought him back on the other side of the railing and, you know, it was a hotel room. The hotel room was empty. And I told him, don't come in, don't come in, don't come in. So they didn't come in. So when I brought him on the other side of the railing, I said, yo, just chill out here on the balcony for a little bit. Let's not go in there yet, because I knew what was going to happen. And, you know, we had a long conversation, about 45 minutes, about the law of attraction. And, you know, I got everything, every tip and secret hint that I can give him. I got everything I could in a time frame that I could, because these guys get paid by the hour. Let them wait. This is way more important. And I love the experience. I love the experience. Would I do it again? No. So please don't call me, you guys.
Yeah, right. or please don't crawl out on the railing is maybe the better thing to say.
Yeah, nobody wants that responsibility.
Yeah. Actually, when you told that story, it reminded me of something that happened to me when I was in school many, many years ago, you know, back in, you know, before the caveman days. I was in school and I was a freshman, and the school I was at, the dorms had this really strange architecture, and there was one section where there was like a 10 story tower next to these 3 or 4 story dorms. And for some reason, I don't know why, this is long before I knew anything about law of attraction. I had never even heard the term, barely knew anything about positive thinking. But for some reason I rode the elevator up to the 10th floor of this thing just to see, I guess I just wanted to see what it was like, what the view was like up there. And I found this guy up there who was acting kind of funny, and came to realize he was thinking about taking the long leap. And I was like you. I had no idea what to say. So I just went with whatever came out of my mouth. And what came out of my mouth basically was getting to know him and letting him talk, letting him know that there was a human being there who heard him. And that's basically what you did. You let this other person know that you were hearing them. You weren't there to arrest them or to take them to a hospital or anything. You were there to hear them. I think that's what makes the difference, because we are all source energy. That's one piece of source energy connecting to another piece of source energy. That's what we need. Funny.
You just made me think of just real quick detail I want to share about that whole incident.
Okay.
That, you know, when he came back over and we were talking, at one point, you know, due to the plantar fasciitis, you know, I was just leaning on the railing. And I got in so much trouble for that. They're like, you're supposed to be tackling this guy to the ground. I'm like, and I'm leaning on the railing. I'm like, so tell me about your childhood. Literally for 45 minutes, I'm leaning on this railing, switching predominant feet for weight. Yeah, so that was funny. But I never take it back. I wouldn't take any of that back.
Yeah.
I still lean on the railing today because my feet still hurt. But, and also because it was relaxing. It was relaxing. It was a very relaxing conversation. You know, I made sure he didn't lean on the railing. You know, I'm trying to keep him away from that. And you know, yeah, he got treated with respect after that. You know, I made sure
that's good.
He was taken care of after that. And ain't nobody getting thrown on the ground around me. None of that. No.
That's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, plus you gave him information he didn't have before. That was a big gift that you gave him. He may have been very confused. I mean, he obviously was very confused from what you're saying, because he had never heard anything like that before. But the information was there. And it's something that my wife Louise taught me about. She was a former psychotherapist, and she used to freak out over how is she supposed to help these drug addicts and these alcoholics and people with all these family problems and so forth. How, you know, if they weren't going to do the work themselves, or, you know, how is she supposed to heal them? How is she supposed to fix them and so forth? And her supervisor said, that's not your job. And Louise says, well, what's my job? She says, your job is to give them the information. It's up to them what they do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she heard that, all the weight came off her shoulders, and she realized, that is my job. You did your job. Neil, you did your job. You gave him the information. And apparently it made enough of a difference that he climbed down, and hopefully maybe it even made a difference beyond that. But the main thing is you did your job.
I can tell you whoever else they would have sent out there wouldn't have taken my approach at all. They would have textbook So I'm happy you went down like that. Definitely happy went down like that. Basically what you were saying just now, you know, you can lead a horse to water.
That's right.
But you can't make them drink.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's up to them.
That's what we do. We serve up the dish on the platter. This is the information. And us collectively, you three and me, have to manifest the world is getting it. They're getting it. They're finally getting it. That's a great affirmation. They're finally getting it. Oh, my gosh. The ego has to shut up and let us marinate in a second, because they are. More and more people are talking about it. More and more people are writing about it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lovely thing. A lovely, lovely thing.
And Marie's jumping in on the same bandwagon. Spoke to many suicidal people on a Samaritan helpline. Listening is a true gift to others.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Totally agree with you.
I was a volunteer Samaritan for 3 years.
You were, Dan? Wow.
Yeah. Off the back of my dalliance with suicide, I went and trained as a Samaritan. And I was a volunteer. And yeah, it's an Amory. Hey, we'll know that it's not about convincing somebody to not.
Right.
It's about creating a space for them to make an empowered choice from where they truly are.
Yes.
You know, and that was tricky sometimes, because you would leave a conversation with someone and think, you know, this person's ready to choose life, and they're at peace and ready to go the other way with it. And that was interesting, given my own experience with it, to see people at such peace with going either way. But yeah.
Well, I'm gonna steal your show again for a second. Jeffrey Blagg said compassion saves lives. It really does. I just wanted to key in on that real quick. Letting people, and this is the most simple thing that we can do for the people we love and anybody, is letting people know they're not alone. I think that is what affected this guy the most. He was going through some stuff upstairs, and he knew that I had been through some stuff upstairs, because that's immediately where I came at. You know, that's how I came at him. So just, if you see somebody in something, or even if you don't, call your family, text them, just let them know they're not alone. You're not alone. Right. As soon as you feel that you're not alone, there's a slight glimpse of help.
Yes. There it is. It really is.
A way out. And that's all a suicidal person is looking for, is just one something. Just something to hold on to. Come on, give me something. And if you could just give them that, I got this guy in Tampa. He needed help growing his business. And, you know, he's paying me all this money. I'm teaching him all these law of attraction stuff. Lo and behold, his nephew was trying to commit suicide. And I'm like, dude, you're paying me to get you money, when I would have talked to him for free, and you know that. All of the work I did from 2008 until 2019 was volunteer. Every graduation speech, every person I talked to, everything I did, I made sure it was volunteer. I took tips, you know, but it was all volunteer. So he knew that. But you got me getting your business better with your nephew. And so, you know, it's things like that that I try to remind people. You never know what your family's going through. Hit them up. Just shoot a text. You know?
That's really good.
And that'll let them know right there they ain't alone. No matter what text you send them. And if you guys get deep into a conversation, what you got going on in your life? And real quick, I just want to throw this out there for everyone who's listening. If you're sitting in a car walking down the street and all of a sudden you think about your cousin Janet, contact your cousin Janet. It didn't just happen. That was sent to you somehow through some energy wave. Janet probably needs to hear from you.
Really?
Hey,
good.
Janet, just thinking about you. How you doing? She's going to say, holy crap, I was just thinking about him.
There you go.
Maybe I'm not alone. Absolutely. He's, you know, maybe I'm not alone. Dan's good at the law of attraction. Let me see what he got. Hey, next thing you know, you're on the phone. You just saved your life and you didn't even know it. You've probably already done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out.
No, before we part company, I want you to give one more plug on your upcoming summit.
Oh, yeah. The summit is this Saturday, April 24th from noon to 4 Eastern time. Just go to neosloasummit.com and register for it. They'll send you the Zoom link. And just show up with a pen and paper, because you're going to be taking notes and you're going to want to ask questions. That's the biggest thing about the law of attraction. Asking questions, because everybody has custom situations about how they were raised and all that other stuff. Write down the notes while the speaker's talking and make sure you get those questions in. And same thing on the comment section. If it gets to be too congested, throw it in the comment section. I'll answer. I'll cut the whole show. I got to answer this question. So I'll take care of you.
Very cool. Love that. Well, thank you, Neo Positivity. Boy, you lived up to your name today. I'll tell you that. You really did. This has been a joy. Thank you very much for spending the time. NeoPositivity.com. You want to make sure you check it out. And Dan and Alex, you guys are great as usual. Thank you, especially to our podcast listeners. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everyone.